You were saying they decorated a tree with velvet bows?
Mm-hmm.
Could you describe that?
Different colored velvet bows. They would just tie a bow with a velvet ribbon and then put a little string, a little gold or silver string on it, and they hang it over a branch. Makes a beautiful tree. Then they have these colored spotlights they put on the floor, which reflects the green, the red, and the yellow light on the tree, and it revolves and gives it the different colors. And they have their trees by the big window, so it can be seen from the street most everywhere. And as her children grew up, she always had a beautiful yard decoration at Christmas time, and she took several first prizes from the garden club and different ones that gave prizes for outdoor decorations. And I remember one year when they were little, and she had three big dolls she fixed, and the littlest one, the little boy doll, he was Terry, and he was up on a step ladder, and Timmy, he was on the bottom of the step ladder, and Becky, she was sitting in the little rocking chair in the yard holding her doll, and she had this big spotlight on him, and she took first prize for her yard scene that year. And different scenes that she's made already, and they make these nice door decorations out of the styrofoam, different things like the keys and all such as that.
So instead of baking things and putting oranges and going through all of that with decorating the tree, there's a lot of time spent on different types of decorations for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good comparison of three Christmases, really.
Yes, it is. It's so different now compared to what we grew up with.
Which do you think is the nicer if you'd have your choice?
Well, I've often said that I think it would just be beautiful to have an old-fashioned tree with the cookies, the decorated cookies, and the fruit and the smell you get from that fruit. But then again, our fruit is not what it used to be. We used to have fruit that had a scent, a smell to it. This fruit we have nowadays, it's picked green and it just don't put off that nice smell anymore.
That's true.
It don't. It's picked green, and then when it ripens, it's just past that stage.
You mother made for the Christmas tree. What kind of a cookie was that? What dough?
Well, it was a plain sugar cookie, but then usually for that purpose to put on the tree, they would add quite a bit of flour to make it hold better, because they would put it up with a string or a thread or some kind of twine. And after the cookie was baked, well, they'd let it cool and they'd fix themselves powdered sugar. And sometime they would color this this icing, and then sometime they just left it white, but they would use the colored sugar. And the little bitty beads, those days, they had those already, and they were in different colors. And they would use some of the bigger ones for the eye part, and use them in a different way. And
were they candy, those little beads?
Yes, they were candy. And they were sugar, the colored sugar was sweet sugar like any other kind.
Well, was there any other kind of cookie that your mother baked every year?
Well, there was one particular one that she always made, and it was the gingerbread man.
Mm-hmm.
And she had didn't have no cutter for that particular one, but she fixed herself. She cut herself a cardboard pattern. Oh. And she would lay that cardboard on her rolled dough, and she would just go around that with a sharp knife and cut out her gingerbread man. And then she'd bake different kinds of cookies, like the fruit cookie and the old-fashioned molasses cookies, which we always had quite a bit of molasses because we'd make our own those days. Mm-hmm. And those were usually our main cookies for the holiday seasons.
You said the old-fashioned molasses cookies. How many would that be when she got through baking that recipe?
Well, at that time of the year, you know, usually everything was doubled, and I would say it was at least 100 or maybe 150 of those. Mm-hmm. And then they were put into a tight char, and they would stay nicely in there.
Did she ever use the tin cans, the old lard buckets for storage for any of her
cookies?
Oh, yes.
Those days, a lot of things come in the 10-gallon cans with the tight-fitting lid, mm-hmm. and then some things were in the half-gallon cans, and they used those for storage.
Well, when did she start baking? How far ahead to get ready?
Well, usually in the wood stove, it would take a little longer than what it does now, but they would sometime bake maybe 8 or 10 days before Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And then when the cookies were good and cold, they usually, when they took them out of the oven, they would take a spatula and lay them on a nice white towel or something until they were good and cold. We didn't have these wire racks like they have now either to cool things on.
Cooled them on a white cloth.
White cloth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did she make fruitcake? Was that?
Well, they usually made cake, a loaf cake, but they mainly had just pecans in there. And sometimes they would buy a little bottle of cherries or something like that, but they didn't go all into this fruit that they have nowadays.
It was just the three kinds, the sugar cookies, fruit cookies, and molasses cookies.
Right.
All right. Were there any other kinds of foods, sausages or anything like that, that you looked forward to for around Christmas?
Well, the sausage really was nothing new, but then that was our main food we had. Mm-hmm. We had our sausage every winter time, and of course then we raised our own chickens, and we had a stuffed hen maybe for Christmas and or New Year's or some other day. And but we didn't know nothing about cranberry sauce or buying cranberries and things like that. That was not on the table in those days.
And you didn't necessarily have turkey either. It just wouldn't.
No. Once in a while, we would have turkey, but then we didn't have these big come-together celebrations. Seems like those years, each family was to themselves. Mm-hmm. They had a family of their own. Well, they just had their family, and that was it. And people stayed at home and had their Christmas.
do you still make any of these cookies today that your
Definitely.
Mother made?
Definitely. I still use the old recipes. I have my sugar cookie recipe. And then I have another one that's a white cookie, too. It's called the Snickerdoodle. And out of that same dough, I make my can't think of the name now. Put different flavorings in there. You can put most anything in that sugar cookie mm-hmm. recipe. Like Annie's oil. And I make my Annie's cookies out of that. Now, there's a lot of people have. We never had none, but my mother-in-law had one of those little boards you would press on the Annie's cookies and make those nice designs on it. And of late, I've seen a lot of those in the stores they now again have to sell, but then some of these older people, and now too they have those again, the rolling pin that you just roll over your dough after you have it rolled out on the table or on your board, and they just roll that rolling pin over it and makes nice designs on your cookies. And you just cut each one, then they're kind of in a square, cut each one with the knife, and that was your cookie then.
I was going to ask if you, if y'all made Annie's cookies. did your mother just make her Annie's cookie dough and just bake them right away, or did she put them in the sun like I've heard some people?
Those days, she just make them and bake them. Mm-hmm. But now I have heard of different ones that would make them and put them in the sun, but you had to have a nice, clear, sunshiny afternoon, mm-hmm. and you'd put them in the sun for half a day, and then you would bake them, and they just kind of rise up like little pillows over the top.
Is that why they put them in the sun, to make them get that puffy effect?
I have an idea. I really don't know why else they put them in the sun. Mm-hmm. But the dough for that particular cookie, I think it's made up pretty firm, just like the sugar cookie mm-hmm. that we used to put on the Christmas tree.
Did you make any special kind of breads or sweets or anything for New Year's?
Oh, yes. We had our New Year's bread every year, and that was the tradition every year. And I still make it. I have never missed one year making my New Year's bread.
Is that right?
Of course, I use it for rolls or New Year's bread or any other time of the year. I just say my sweet bread. So my grandsons say, Nanny, it can be ate any time of the year. It don't have to be New Year's.
Well, do you have any special designs you make this bread into?
Well, some I do. Some I put into a little loaf pan, perhaps, and then some I have, you just take three strips of dough and you just fix your nice, you flat it, you can make a long loaf out of it, plait it like that, or you can either plait your bunch of dough like that and then make a holly wreath out of it. You turn it and make a ring out of it, more or less. Mm-hmm. And it's made with yeast. And now we buy the yeast out of the store, but we used to have our own homemade yeast, which the older people always would start with the sourdough. They would have some would keep their sourdough in fruit jars, mm-hmm. and every time they'd take so many spoons of that sourdough or a cup or whatever they were going to use out, they would add another 3-4 tablespoons of flour and perhaps another spoon or two of sugar and stir it up again, and then they just leave it set out, and that sourdough, it would be really sour till their next batch whenever they wanted to bake homemade bread or this particular sweet bread.
It would ferment in the jar, and then it was like the yeast.
It would just keep on going. And then in our days, most of them went to making their own yeast cake. Mm-hmm. They then took cornmeal and put it into this sourdough, and they would make it kind of like a cookie dough, and they would just make a round roll out of it, and they would cut this then with this cornmeal. They'd make it pretty firm, the dough. They would cut it into about 1/4 inch thick slices, mm-hmm. and these would be about you would take about 2, if you want to make a good batch of bread, you could take. And these then they would let dry. They would just lay them on a board and just lay them in the sun until they were good and dry. Maybe it would take, depended on the weather, maybe it would take 6, 8, 10 days to make them, let them dry real good. And when they were dried real good, they could fill them into a jar or something and keep them. And every time they'd want to bake, they would just get a couple or whatever they needed of these yeasts and used them for their dough.
Mm.
And when we made this sweet bread, or when we make it still now, we mix our dough and we let it rise for perhaps an hour, hour and a half. And then we take it back on the table and knead it, and we shape it into however we want it. And then we let it rise again and put it in the oven about 350 degrees hot. We bake it, and when it is just about done, and then we beat up an egg and mix a little bit of milk in it, the yolk and the yellow, beat it up and put a little milk in it, and I have a little pastry brush, and you just brush over the top of that, put it back in the oven maybe 2-3 minutes, because your sweet bread is so hot that actually it just cooks that while you're putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
But you put it back in the oven about 2-3 minutes, and then you take it out, and you have the nicest glaze over the top.
Is that how you get that glaze on there?
That's how you get that glaze on
there. The yellow and the white?
Oh, yes.
And a little milk.
You beat that up, and you just put about 2 tablespoons of milk in there. Take mm-hmm. a little pastry brush, and you brush it over the top.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I remember seeing that, but I didn't know how you did it.
I make that quite often through the year. And I also use it for my sweet rolls. I mm-hmm. make that same dough, and I put it on the table and roll it out, and then I melt a little your butter, and I take my pastry brush, and I just cover the whole spread of dough with that, and I take cinnamon and sugar and sprinkle it over that, and sometimes I put chopped pecans in, and sometimes I put raisins in there, and then I just roll it up into a roll, and I just cut my rolls about 1.5 inches thick, put it in a pan, let them rise, and
mm-hmm.
that's the sweet roll.
Yeah. Was it ever a tradition, as far as you remember, to bake these little braided pieces of New Year's bread and give them to anyone, maybe your godchildren or something like that?
That used to be the tradition. That used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They would, when they had godparents or something, usually that was something the godparent would give to the child
mm-hmm.
at Christmas time. Along with maybe a little pair of socks or a little pair of gloves or whatever they gave. Perhaps just 2-3 lead pencils for school if they were school age or things like that. That was about as far as our Christmas gifts went from the godparents.
But the godparents did give something.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And then as for candy, they usually had the peppermint stick candy that they would give. Then later on, they got to where they had these bigger sticks of peppermint candy, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
the candy canes mm-hmm. and different things like that.
Is the recipe you're using for your New Year's bread, does that come from your mother or not?
Well, really, the one I have, I think, I got from the mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
From Howard's mother. They were a big family, and she did a lot of that baking,
mm-hmm.
so I really got the recipe from her,
mm-hmm.
the one I now have.
Mm-hmm.
But these older people, most all of them had about the same recipe that they went on.
You mentioned this, having this sour, excuse me, sourdough to bake bread. How did you start that sourdough?
Well, I don't know that they ever really run out with it. You know, I remember we were neighbors to the Fritz Drogerts, and we had the D. Montells for neighbors, and the old Mr. and Mrs. Joe Mann. And I remember many a time when we would go visiting of an evening, one would ask the other one, "Oh, I'm just about out of yeast. Could you borrow me one or two?"
But how they ever got it started, I don't know.
I've never been able.
One handed it down to another, and if one seemed to run out, well, there was 3-4 neighbors that would start you off again with a new batch.
I remember that too with Mother, but I never could find out where who started the first one, you know.
This is true, but now you know, I just read in the paper, in Eloise's column, in fact, I read it, where you can start you some sourdough in the bottle with this malt yeast now. But you should have the cake and not the dry. And you can start your sourdough in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, oh, well, we always made all our homemade bread. We didn't have our homemade bread. We'd bake cornbread and we'd bake biscuits. And that was always on the table every meal. We never knew what it was to buy bread. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Mm-hmm. Did St. Nick's mean, Nicholas Day mean a lot to y'all?
Oh, definitely, but we'd always we'd hang up one of Daddy's socks, but then later on we wised up on that. We got one of Mother's long cotton stockings because it held more.
Mm-hmm.
We put it out on the wash line.
Oh, you put them on the wash line?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, we always had fire in the fireplace and we couldn't afford to put it there because we didn't want it to burn up, you know. So we went out and we hung it on the wash line and put 2 or 3 clothespins on each stocking or sock, whatever we hung out. And St. Nick would always bring those apples, oranges, and pecans that perhaps we picked up ourselves in the pecan grove, but nevertheless, we had them for St. Nick.
What time of the day did you hang these stockings, and when did St. Nicholas come?
Oh, never before it got dark, because, you know, he wouldn't show up, and then usually my daddy had some hound dogs, you know, and first daddy had to chain them up before we dare put a stocking on the wash line to get, because sometimes he'd put candy in there and cookies, and, you know, with dogs around, couldn't very well take the chance.
Yeah. Well, do you have any idea what the tradition of St. Nick's meant? Why, how this got started with hanging the sock out or the stocking?
I have no idea. From little girl on, that was the way they did. St. Nicholas would come on the, well, some set the 5th and some set the 6th. When we were school age, we'd get to school the next morning. They'd say, "What'd you get from St. Nick?" "Oh, I forgot to hang my stocking." "Well, I'll hang it out tonight." So.
And he still came.
Okay, he still came the next night.
Did you ever hear this story? Did this ever happen? That sometimes there would be men dressed like in a Santa Claus suit, and they'd come around to check on you to see if you had been good, or that this was St. Nick would be checking when you're on his trip to see if you're going to be good for Christmas.
In our days, we didn't have too much Santa Claus playing going on, but if there was, it was usually... He usually wore a heavy overcoat and a pair of black boots and usually had something over the face, more or less, like a stocking or something like that, you know, and gloves on, but we didn't have too much of that in our days.
He didn't come in the traditional red suit, huh?
No.
Well, I'll say, that's the first time I heard that.
We only seen more or less pictures of him. Then when our daughter, I mean, those days, then the Santa Clauses, they would come and they'd go from house to house, you know, and they'd make their visits. And in fact, my husband hired, he was Santa Claus many a time, you know. He would have a lot of fun going there. And doing like you say, have you been good or bad? And well, everybody was good, you know, you hardly found a bad one.
No, I guess not.
And they would sing, they would ask them if they could sing.
And they would sing Holy Night and all those.
Oh, the children had to perform.
Oh, yes, they would have to sing. If they had a leader to pull them through, they could sing, but it took them a little while till they could get started. You know, some were pretty startled about seeing Santa Claus there.
I bet he did have fun doing that.
He
did. I can just see that. Well, I believe we've covered the foods and everything pretty well and the weddings. So I think we'll end the interview, which I think has been quite good. And you will get a copy of these tapes for your time. And thank you.
Thank you.